Jeez.
Jeez, indeed.
Yes. Does that sound better?
Progress.
Hey, you're a little overblown, but I think, yeah, that sounds good.
Like, I'm a little what?
You're a little blown. You're kind of peaking a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm using my my turtle for my Xbox.
Oh, okay. That probably would explain why.
How about now? Is it still peaking?
It's a little better. You're a little loud, but that's all right.
Make sure not to have the volume all the way up on your phone and turn it like at least 75% on if you have a volume mic.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, I can't see a volume mic.
Oh, no. Ooh, boy. I know what that is.
That should be good.
How about that?
Yeah, I think it's acceptable.
It's hella hard to hear you guys, but it's... Damn.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Well, I mean, if I'm not sure if whatever you change really messed with how it's going to be picked up in the recording. So if it's not really going to, then
right.
It might be better just to...
Because I listened to the recordings, and it sounds really good.
Yeah.
With the older mic I had. I was just trying to do it to a way where, like, you guys could hear me.
Oh yeah, no, I got two volumes on mine. I got my phone volume and I got my internal headset volume, so I'm all good.
Okay. Jose.
Yep.
Okay. Devane.
Yeah, yo.
What are we? Okay, I don't even know what to introduce you as.
Neither do I. That's a good question.
I don't even know what your name is.
Are we doing names, Marvel names?
I was about to say, like, are we getting special names in this piece? You know, like nomenclature and shit. Are we gonna be attaching to each other?
I just wanted to hang out. With my friends and talk about Marvel flicks. That's all.
I know. And that's probably the best thing I could possibly imagine talking about with you guys.
And knockout videos, if I'm honest.
I would have went with the link if I got one.
Yeah. I think I speak for both of us, Brett, when, you know, we miss those ignorant Thursdays, as we call them.
Those
Salty Thursdays.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's what they weren't teaching. They weren't teaching any sense of self stress management.
I got the room and come back.
Mm-hmm. So, first off, Far From Home. Yo. You all seen this, right? Please tell me we've all seen this.
Yes. We've seen it. We've done all that. I'm going to count to 10. We're going to start. I'm going to introduce you guys as it is on the sheet.
Okay.
If you want me to call you something else, you should change it. I assigned you Negro's tasks. You can see it. You guys ignored it, so I'm going to use the names that I wrote down.
That's fair enough.
I'll just go all right.
Got it. With Venom. His mama name him Clay. I'ma call him Clay. Hold on. Out. There it is. Ha ha. All right. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we are live.
Hey.
Children of the Vault. What's up?
What's up?
This is the NBA. This is an impromptu podcast. I'm going to be honest. I just want to hang out with my friends and talk about Marvel movies and knockouts. And I brought my boy Jose with me. And I brought Venom.
What up?
And I brought Devane.
Hey.
Let's get into it.
All right. So
No Bruno.
Keep your hands to yourself at all times during this podcast.
Do my best.
Far From Home, though. That's why we're really here, to kind of like, I know I had done the podcast with Just Being Earned, and we had talked all about Endgame. So it'll be very interesting to hear from you guys and your perspectives. But Far From Home, the reason why I brought you guys all together is because you guys all really mess with Spider-Man, and I don't.
Word. Yeah,
so yeah. I wanted to bring, you know what I mean? I wanted to bring the I won't say fans, but the compassionate critics, you know, of Spider-Man.
Gotcha.
So Far From Home. What did you guys think of that movie? What was it? Was that a good movie?
This has been like the year for Spider-Man. Let me put it this way. This is like I guess I count last December too. I looked into that, but damn, like the Spider-Man IP has been killing it, and
yeah,
this Far From Home kind of solidified that in more ways than I could even have thought, because there was a side of me that kind of had the that fear about. I think it was like Ant-Man and the Wasp. I was like, this might not be the movie that the sequel that it needs, you know. And I got proven wrong real quick.
Well, Spider-Man represents the youth. I mean, he's pretty much been the face of Marvel since the beginning of time to me. But, you know, and Tony's an older dude. Like, how are kids going to relate to Tony? This guy's always telling, you know, Peter what to do. You know, kids are going to relate to Peter. So just like they just revamped him. And now every kid got a strong connection to him. My son's 14. He loves the new Spider-Man. Yeah. Loves him.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's Spider-Man built for the generation right behind me. So, yeah, no, that's no lie.
I think it's just all time, like, just like every underdog that everyone wanted to be, even from like the beginning comics. Like you said, Tony Stark was this billionaire. Captain America kind of has the same upbringings, but he just gets thrown into it right away. But you get to watch Spider-Man grow up through every and every style, no matter how many times the story comes back. You watch.
Yeah, so this generation is going
to
grow up.
Yeah, I would argue to say this is probably like, you know, probably one of the most true to form storytelling of the Spider-Man lore that I think we're probably gonna get, you know, for the entirety of like the Marvel continuity. You know, like he started when he was in the beginnings of high school, you know, like the absolute youngest that a Spider-Man has been. And now we're moving, you know, further and further where he's gonna be hitting college pretty soon, and gonna be pretty soon, at least I'm assuming, because Kevin Feige's a madman, going to be touching into the other versions of Spider-Man, like, you know, i.e. Miles and all the other universes and whatnot. So we're about to see, you know, this entire, you know, subset of Spider-Man about to blow up. So like, by the time that, you know, I'm 40, you know, we'll probably be so deep in this that we'll probably, you know, maybe even hit, you know, Spider-Man 20XX, and that's exciting to see any kind of telling of that kind of story, you know, from the absolute beginnings to, like, you know, where it will like eventually evolve to, and, you know, probably conclude into something that, you know, is beyond our wildest dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Now, are you guys all, are you all like Spider-Man, like comic readers, or are you, would you say that, like, some of you have entered in because of the movies, or some of you came in with, like, Tobey Maguire, or maybe video game? Like, what is your reference for really liking Spider-Man?
I came into that video game crowd and into the actually to the before Tobey Maguire, the Spider-Man cartoon. Like the original one, though, didn't really have that great animation. But yeah, that one I really grew up on, like the SNES games and whatnot. And then once the Tobey Maguire movies came out, that's when I came right back into it and I started actually reading some of the older comics and some of the other ones that came about and whatnot, and the offshoots and shit. So I'm like half and half.
Yeah. Devane?
No, I just did, man.
Oh, you're talking about me. My first introduction was the comics before the video game and the movie came out. I just happened to get to a comic shop because either my aunt or uncle just stopped, or if we were walking by, I was like, let's go in here. I have no knowledge of comics, but, and I think what happened was I got a couple of hand-me-downs and I got Scarlet Spider, and that was my gateway to the original Spider-Man. So, that Parker B, you know, Benjamin Parker is, you know, the clone of Spider-Man. They touch on the Spider-Verse, but Spider-Man 2. And that's how I got it. And then all of the video games and the other two films, I enjoyed watching it more, watching it come to life, really done on the movie, big screen, than, you know, as a minimum for video games and or TV show adaptations. Or Broadway that nobody wants to talk about.
Me with comics, I never was a comic head, to be honest with you. I used to get boxes of them from my neighbor, like on Halloween, and I used to just look at the pictures and I thought they were cool, but I never read them. I was always playing sports, or I was always outside. I got into comics because I hated reading preschool stories to my son. Because they were just so, you get tired of reading like lambs and stuff and or whatever. So it was just, and I wanted him to learn how to read. I taught my son how to read at 2 years old. So I was just like, I wanted him to read something with, you know, some alpha shit. I mean, oh, sorry. Some alpha stuff.
I mean, we heard across that barrier. how many books?
Like, 12.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I just wanted to read something different, you know? So I wanted him to read some comics, but at the same time, I wanted him to have somebody that would reflect him in any kind of way. So besides just reading the obvious with Spider-Man or Batman, like at the perfect time, Miles came around. Like I've been reading Miles comics since like the very first issue. And then because my son, I wanted to connect with my son more, I started reading comics heavily. I read, Spider-Man was like always like probably my favorite comic like throughout my life. And the reason I liked Spider-Man more is because I always felt like Spider-Man was like the first black superhero. And that, I know papers like what first black superhero? I think he was the first black superhero because he was like the first comic character that everybody, like the press hated him. And it was always against him. And, you know, he's saving the day, but the police are rolling up and they're shooting him up. They're shooting at him. Like, he wasn't, like, a well-received by the public superhero. He wasn't, like, put in the image of, like, Superman or Batman, where they constantly save the day and they're, like, the great white hope dude. He made mistakes. Like, his girl died like he was trying to save her. Like, I don't think anybody's ever done that before. Like, this dude just had like, mad heartache. It was, like, probably the first time, like, this dude went through, like, some, like, a comic book, like, really introduced, like, tragedy and sadness instead of, like, saving the day every single time.
Wait, now isn't it, I'm not the best, and, I'm know, not the Spider-Man, best Spider-Man scholar, right? But isn't that kind of true to all of his stories? That he kind of, like,
whose stories?
He kills, you know, like, he ends up, like, killing, was it Gwen Stacy or killing like
Mary Jane? Yeah, pretty much. Like he's responsible, yeah, for Jane's like death.
That's kind of through the multiverse. That's like one of the themes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, in a lot of ways, like her death is almost inevitable in many different ways, or like in terms of like the tragicness of their relationship is that like in many different ways, either, you know, Peter is met an untimely end, or Gwen or Mary Jane, but it's always, you know, some reason between the three as to why one is met the end because of some grim reality they both had to face because of, you know, the overarching storyline that is Spider-Man's lore.
Right. And there's probably no place where Spider-Man is just peaceful.
No, I don't know.
There is a multiverse where everything's perfect.
Yeah,
that does exist. He's like a billionaire.
I mean, they actually made one of those, or it's sort of like somebody hinted at it.
Yeah, he has like a silver suit. Yeah,
he was like a super like OP. He was basically almost what the MCU version I guess would be like in time. You know, having the access to all the money and tech that Tom Holland's Spider-Man will eventually get.
Yeah, I think I don't know if they'll do this, but I think currently right now, because Spider-Man made a deal with Mephisto, he's rich right now. Like he has his own company, like kind of like Starks, where he does technology and stuff. I don't know if they'll go there with him, but that's going to be time because I think he's like 25, 28.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I feel like, you know, if we ever get to the point where, you know, we get to the next conclusion of, like, you know, phase 4, 5, and 6, like the big conclusion that will presumably come in 6, we may see, you know, the mid-20s Spider-Man that may be in that. And by then, hopefully, we may see some, Fantastic Four, you know, eke into there somewhere and the bigger businesses that kind of come in within the lore. But, yeah, no, definitely the beginnings of that are kind of showing that they may be doing something like that with this version of Peter within the movies.
But they did that in Homecoming. They teased the future suit. When Spider-Man is with Fantastic Four, the back of the Superior suit.
Yeah.
So, I didn't like the espionage suit, but the whole second suit that he makes is a reference to Superior Spider-Man, where his
body is occupied
by Doc Ock, but instead he's using the tech of Tony Stark. So it's the same idea that carries over. And then after the fight with Mysterion, where like his suit is like barely like really scratched up, it's white, but it still has the symbol. So, and that same suit is used in Fantastic Four. So I don't know if that was an Easter egg reference or if that's like probably an Easter egg reference, but I'd like to be hopeful that that's the direction they're going. Spider-Man is going to be the one that brings in Fantastic Four, but who knows?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think at this point, now that we've officially closed off the third phase and the first, like, you know, kind of section of the MCU, is that, like, everything that they have done, you know, from the beginning to now has all been pre-planned to some degree. Like, you know, they always have something that they want to throw in. I mean, I'm not sure.
You were talking about Superior Spider-Man and Fantastic Four.
And then Devane said how Phase 3 doesn't affect any future relevance.
Oh, you know, I was saying that
Tony Stark's ghost still haunts the world.
Yeah. I was saying that you know, the little itty bitty things that they put in here for every single movie has all led to one another, and they didn't hit that any more home than when Mysterio finally had his reveal, and it turns out that, like, the dude all the way from the first one was a part of this plan. Like, that blew my fucking mind. That absolutely blew my mind, because I was like, that can't be possible. Like, they did not do that. Well, they added that, and then they're kind of making that come full circle. Like, I didn't think they would be that crazy.
He comes out in Iron Man 3, though, right? Apparently.
No, it's all going to go back to that, though. That's the beauty of it. It's all going to go back to... That's what they've done. They've got that, like, anchor.
They've done this 6 times already.
Yeah, right?
Like, how many? This has got to be the 6th scientist that's been upset with Tony or had a gripe with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which, I mean, goes they've done this already. That's, I mean, it's kind of repetitive. Like,
it is.
They can't keep going after Tony.
No, I mean, at this point, it's
right,
like,
they got to transfer the hatred. Right, yeah. But it was interesting. It was like, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, I was
like, I probably should have said this earlier when we started. Like,
I was definitely kind of taken aback when I understood, like, the vastness that they're going to be touching within all the different ages of the comic books. Because I think I had mentioned this on social media that, like, the first to third phases of the MCU were not for, you know, those of us who happen to be so connected to, like, the comic books or the other, you know, things around there. That was to kind of get everybody set up for the really dark stuff that's about to come out. I mean, I even told you, Brett, that, like, I have this really strong feeling that they're about to pull from the Dark Reign storyline, which that one is a really, really dark entry in the comic book line.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go too dark with Spider-Man.
No. The darkest they could probably get is that he breaks down and becomes
they can't go too dark Spider-Man. With him. That's one thing that made me love Spider-Man was the fact that, you know, he's kind of timid without the mask. But, you know, once he put the mask on, he's popping mad. He's confident as ever. Mm. He feels free. That's like the duality of Spider-Man.
Oh yeah,
and then, you know, and then when he gets that Venom thing, he gets even darker. So, you know, he's real, like, you know, Dark Side of the Moon comes out when he gets that symbiote in him.
And that's interesting to kind of see because I know that, you know, it, away from lore, I know
he has a lot of contempt. He does. I think Spider-Man has a lot of contempt.
he does. And like away from the lore, like I know Sony has been in talks with Marvel for the longest time to get the Venom IP that they made not too long ago to meet up with the MCU Spider-Man in some way, and I know that they're trying to make that work, right? Just because that's a storyline that is very integral to him growing up as a person, and I'm kind of wondering, you know, in a way, I feel like they may end up, you know, because they're really pushing hard in a lot of advertisements before and now after the movie is released that there isn't a Spider-Verse. I mean, they even kind of took the piss out of it in the narrative saying, like, oh, when he was talking about Earth 616, oh, that was just, you know, Beck kind of talking out of his ass.
Right.
So they're trying to instill to us that it doesn't exist. So I'm almost certain that they're just trying to be, like, cheeky and being like, no, soon enough we're going to kind of see that, oh, yeah, the Venom from the Sony pictures is basically another universe, and then maybe we'll bring in somebody else from all this other stuff at some other point in the universe. Because, I mean, we already touched on multiverse, you know, way earlier, like in earlier films and shit.
But the new movie still had a Shattered Dimensions feel to it.
Anybody played that
video game, which was a fantastic video game. Love that video game. Mm-hmm. It's probably like one of my favorite ones. But it did have like a Shattered Dimensions feel to it. So it was like it talked about it was multiple dimensions in that video game, and you know, but it was based on a missing ancient tablet that was spread out through the multiverse.
Well, we don't know what happened with the Tesseract and that whole timeline with Loki, and then Steve Rogers getting old, and the whole hint-on-hint Secret Wars.
I can imagine that because of their trickery in doing that, and also because they're going to be doing like other side stories within that new platform that Disney's making. I can only imagine that, you know, even though officially the full movie contracts that we have for Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and whatnot, like, even though they're gone, that doesn't necessarily mean that their presence is going to be gone, especially seeing as now that we have multiverse, there are other Tony Starks, there are other Chris Evans. There's going to be quite a number of them that are going to be out there, and they may be touching some of the story going forward. So I definitely feel like, you know, as we see more of the Spider-Man story being told, I can only imagine that, you know, at some point after, probably after like the conclusion of the Secret Wars and whatnot, we'll probably see them officially dip into that as like a full storyline.
That would definitely be fun.
Yeah, that Nick Fury is definitely original sin all the way.
Oh yeah, I still remember the talk that I had with Brett a long, long time ago, talking about, you know, the android robotic, you know, Nick Fury and whatnot, and that being a possibility, and we were like super hard on that theory, and it's just kind of, you know, and saying now that here we are now, where it's been pretty much confirmed that, you know, he's not robotic. He's not the Android computer that he is, at least for now. But
right.
We definitely have him as a double. Like we definitely have like him, you know, working on what is presumed to be S.W.O.R.D., which I remember the show in. I forget what season it was, but it was like the season where they started in space. They pretty much joke like S.W.O.R.D. That's a dumb name. Why would you ever do that?
Season 5, I think. Yeah.
They straight up were trying to red herring us, being like, "That's a dumb name. Who would ever do that?" You know. And here we are, right there, seeing it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think there's two things that they kind of did. I'm not sure that I buy that we're going to spend a lot of time in the multiverse. I think it's just a nice way of getting people to understand dimensions.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I would agree as well. Like I don't think that
it's a good way to. So there's stuff that now Doctor Strange can do, right?
Yep.
And they can make more magical worlds through that.
Oh, and along with Michelle Pfeiffer's character, you know, who's in the small universe. Yeah, they're definitely going to be using that to potentially go into the other universes as well. So I honestly think that, like, they are definitely setting it up to a way, but they're trying to keep it simple because, I mean, they're not trying to be as nearly as, you know, complicated and convoluted. It's a comic sent to make, you know, interdimensional travel, you know, be and whatnot.
Said. Yeah, I almost wonder. I kind of still feel like they're going to, you know, I feel like a lot of the multiverse stuff was like a distraction thrown out. I feel like really the secret in there is the space and Earth stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I mean, like, we just started touching on the greater space, you know, like conflicts and whatnot. Like we got kind of a taste with it with Guardians and whatnot, and you know, we kind of got like the really good introduction through Infinity War and Endgame, but we haven't seen like the actual consequences of, you know, wars and other battles that we've seen with the other species that aren't just Earthlings.
Right.
So yeah, no, I very much agree that this is more of just kind of like an attraction so people don't understand like the severity of what's about to happen with the Skrulls and the Secret Wars, which I mean, I'm sure we all kind of know that like if we don't, like the Skrulls are going to do their thing and then they're going to turn on us not too long afterwards. Like it's going to be quite the turn once that's all kind of said and done.
So it is.
Yeah, because now it's really working. It's really setting it. It's like they position it like, yeah, see, the Skrulls are helping you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Like master manipulators. And I'm just like, you guys are falling base. Which, and that was, it was quite the, isn't it quite the comparison though? Like within the scope of how. Yeah, foreshadowing with Mysterio is like, you know, you thought the amount of like manipulation that Mysterio was doing was crazy. Oh, you haven't seen anything. Like this was literally the teaser to how much manipulation and second, you know, guessing yourself is gonna start playing into the future movies and whatnot. Like the whole Hydra thing was like not even close to what like, you know, they're gonna be experiencing in terms of double cross.
It was foreshadowing on foreshadowing. Can we talk about how well they executed the illusions of Mysterion all the magic?
That was insane. I couldn't, you know, I think I remember seeing a breakdown, a couple of the shots that they did, you know, to kind of sell the illusion, you know, for the people who don't really know who Mysterio is. And when he's literally just walking past you or just floating right in front of you, and how it was kind of making that whole thing work in the suspension of disbelief. And if you weren't quick, you didn't see it and whatnot, but you could actually see Jake Gyllenhaal's character somewhere in the background. You actually could literally see him for like a couple of frames, you know, doing his acting thing, which was insane. I was like, I couldn't believe that they actually were ballsy enough to put that in there and make people kind of like suss that out and whatnot.
Yeah. It's a good Trojan horse.
Oh yeah. And, oh, you know, just out of curiosity, Brett, I want to see if you, did you catch it was in the middle of the film. It was when they switched to, Nick and Hill, and they just happened to have been walking and talking, and they were talking about Kree camps or whatever the hell. Did you happen to catch that line the first time?
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah. I didn't know that Kree had sleeper agents. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, are you going to switch on us? Is that what you're going to do? Is the Secret Invasion actually going to be the Kree? And they use, you know what I mean? They use Kree technology to take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know
Yeah. No, I was kind of wondering when I heard that line.
Is that going to be the real Secret Invasion? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah. And I thought to myself, like, if that wasn't the deadest giveaway that this Nick Fury wasn't the real one, I don't know what the fuck is. Because, like, he already was feeling kind of shaky from the beginning and all the things he was saying. But at this point, I'm like, no, he straight up mentions the Kree. Like, Nick Fury doesn't really mention the Kree almost in any other name throughout the entire MCU, and he's doing it now out of, like, just off the cuff. Like, what the hell?
You win a war when you take away the best chess piece.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think it's pretty funny, just, you know, just in terms of, like, the writer's choices to have Nick Fury straight up trust the Kree enough to actually, you know, run his little underground, you know, spec ops kind of thing. I'm like, really? Like, y'all trust him that much to run?
Well, but also look at the trade-off. They got him in space, right? Because now he's got the intergalactic helicarrier, right?
He's got a bigger job to do.
Oh yeah,
right. They gave, you know.
Which I mean, I feel like that's kind of going to be like, you know, this is definitely setting up the future problems that the entirety of the Earth is going to have to deal with now, because, you know, the Skrulls are helping, but in reality, like, they're just doing whatever the hell they want and up until they finally get the goal to start taking over the Earth. So
I suspect that if they use the Skrulls, it will be like Talos's daughter who becomes the queen.
Oh yeah.
And then that builds up.
Well, she's Kree, so I mean.
Oh yeah.
It would have to be a sub-Kree or something like that, because there are different hierarchies, if I remember, in the comics.
Oh, yeah. I believe that there are, too. And I'm actually kind of wondering, like, when. Because, I mean, the Infinity War felt weird without the inclusion of Adam Warlock. It really did. But because they kind of shoehorned that in with Captain Marvel, I'm kind of wondering if they're going to pull some crazy stuff where we're going to see potentially a villain side to Captain Marvel when Adam Warlock, you know, does the stuff with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
The Guardians, yeah.
Yeah. Just because, I mean, there's a lot of conflicting things that I feel are going to start coming up once the war starts. And because she is, you know, of both Earth and, you know, has, you know, galactic, you know, feelers all over the place and whatnot, I feel like it'll definitely kind of butt heads with the almighty godness of whatnot that Adam Warlock is, because I mean they're pretty comparable, you know, in terms of power. I'd say
it's kind of hard to make Adam Warlock work in Infinity War. Like, he would just have to come out of nowhere and just, like, hang back while everybody fights and then come in at the last. I mean, I don't know, that'd be kind of corny if they did that.
Oh no, I mean that's essentially what they had Captain Marvel for. I mean, that's, you know, that she really, as much as they hyped her up, I mean, you know, she kind of played an incredibly small part that I would imagine somebody of Adam Warlock's power would probably have done, but it's just like
Scarlet Witch was about to get the job done if they ain't stopped dropping the bombs.
Oh, right. I'm like, it is.
I mean, Scarlet Witch is like one of the most powerful superheroes in the universe.
Oh, yeah,
right?
No, she was about to clap Thanos like nobody's business, but. Yeah,
yeah, it was over for Thanos then and there.
Yeah. So there's so many of them that had the ability inherently just with magic alone to take on Thanos. But it's just, you know, now that we've kind of proven that, you know, it takes an army. It doesn't just take an overpowering, you know, force at this point, at least as far as the Avengers know. To rule the universe or whatever, that, because right now they've proven that, you know, somebody who is as powerful as them with an army can match them, but they haven't seen the cosmic level of that yet. Like, they haven't been able to face. I mean, Star-Lord technically did that when he was fighting his dad because he had cosmic power. He doesn't have cosmic power anymore because he sacrificed that to defeat his dad. So now we're gonna see all the people who kind of have close to cosmic power, but now we're going to see, okay, what happens when you actually meet a celestial and you don't have cosmic power? What happens when you happen to meet Galactus and you don't have that power?
Mm-hmm.
Which is ultimately what they're all building up to. So, yeah, I can see that.
I mean, there's a number. I mean, to me, there's only like four people they could go towards. Annihilus, Galacticus, Doom. Who's another one that I can't think of right now? Oh, I think Kang the Conqueror. So I mean, that's it to me. Those are the four right there.
On the time.
Who else is there?
I imagine they're not too far off of what, you know, potentially could be the case. And, you know, as many as, like, I mean, how many Celestials have we seen thus far? Like, maybe, like, four in total as of this point. So, I mean, we still have quite a bit of them to kind of tap on. And then they've teased a couple of them, you know, through the explanation of the Infinity Stones, you know, in Guardians and in Thor. So we have quite a bit in terms of, like, you know, just Celestial beings that are going to start popping up here and there just because, you know, they've kind of knocked on that door by, you know, getting the Infinity Stones and whatnot. So now that we're actually here and, you know, we kind of have them, you know, out and about, you know, there's going to be somebody that's going to come along. I don't know who the first one's going to be. I mean, as far as we know, like, Guardians 3 isn't going to be coming out until, like, 2022, 2023 maybe at this point, because the director has to finish Suicide Squad
22.
Because he has to go finish Suicide Squad 2. So we have quite a bit of time before we even kind of see, you know, some of the bigger players on the hero side who have, you know, more celestial powers to be able to fight them. So I feel like there's going to be a lot more, like, side buildup of, like, because, I mean, even the next movie that apparently is coming out is going to be Black Widow, and that's a prequel, so...
Yeah, I don't get that one. It's going to be, like, no movies until, like, next year, the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So we got, like, plenty of time to talk about this again.
Oh, yeah. We most certainly do. I honestly can't wait to kind of see what's going to come from it.
Like, Black Panther until 21. No Spider-Man movie till 21.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel 22. I mean... They're kind of taking their time with the next phase.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would imagine for good reason. I mean, I think maybe that even Marvel Studios understands that, like, they went hard. They went harder than any studio in the history of cinema, you know, on all their release schedules. And I think that they know that, like, after you bring in a Thanos and then kill a Thanos that next year, you know, they kind of need a break, you know. They need a little bit of a cigarette before they get to the next one.
Well, yeah, the Avengers are done for right now. Mm-hmm. Who knows when they'll do another Avengers film. Everybody's going to be doing their own solo thing until something apocalyptic happens and they got a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Spider-Man can lead them by then. He'll have enough, I don't know, he'll feel confident about himself maybe. Hopefully they'll make him a confident Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I guess that's kind of like the weird thing we're going to have to figure out is that, are we purely going to see, you know, Tom Holland's Spider-Man as the future leader, especially when we have, you know, Doctor Strange, who potentially will be in the Illuminati going forward and whatnot after Secret Wars? Like, I feel like there may be enough of a reason to kind of see him in that pure leadership position and then fail, mm-hmm. and then happen to have, like, you know, some of the more, you know, side characters that we've seen who have, you know, greater power overall than Spider-Man kind of take over that mantle as a collective, you know what I'm saying?
They could go that route, but I don't know. I think they're just going to, like, just keep him with the torch and let him lead the way until he dies out, in the next apocalyptic battle.
Yeah, I think he's the Iron Man of the Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Captain Marvel is the Iron Man of space.
Yeah.
And I think... you will see cosmic characters that will be with her and the people she teams up with.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see Earth stuff with, like, you know, like, I actually, honestly, I probably see a lot of movies more with Black Panther and Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
More than I see Black Panther doing movies with Captain Marvel in space.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean...
Unless there's a super invasion event... Earth, imminent doom for Earth.
Yeah, that's when they'll probably step in, you know, with the might of, you know, Wakanda, not just, you know, Black Panther in general, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, even canonically with, like, Black Panther, like, he typically never goes out of, you know, Earth or Wakanda because, you know, he very much is a traditional man who has learned more values because of his experiences with his villains, you know, aka Killmonger and whatnot. So he's a very conservative progressive in a way, you know, just because, like, he expands it enough where he can hang out with everybody else, but he's still like, nah, let me worry about my country, please. Like, no, I got traditions to uphold.
And his powers come from his connection to the planet. You know
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. So he steps out. You know, it's kind of a different world.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of interesting to kind of see the dynamic on that. And plus, one of the things like. Yeah, DC's all day. Woo!
Let me just say, that's how good this podcast is.
Damn, keep it real with us, Brett.
That's how good. You know what I mean? Children of the Vault, we could go there on Spider-Man. I just knew it. Multi-generational. All right, that's a good segue. Christian wants us to listen to rap, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get a chance to hear that?
I actually did. I don't know if I remember a lot of it, though, because I was like kind of in the car jamming out to it. So I don't know if I got too much opinion on it, but I can say a little bit.
Well, we're gonna listen and put our take on
it? Well, yeah,
it was in
the thing. What's it called? In the thing. What's it called?
Yeah, I saw it. I know what it meant, though. It said. Hip-hop
trades. Yeah, they're gonna. He's the young boys are going to educate us on what these days are listening to.
That's not mine. I'm not gonna say or educate. I'm just say that this is what's in the current trend. It's unless you listen to SoundCloud rappers, and I mean, by all means, go ahead. You know.
Do you enjoy? No, I mean, before we listen to this, I'm assuming you're enjoying this. This is your stuff.
Honestly, it's
this
like
your John
50-50. I got more excited 50-50. From the production of Madlib. Freddie Gibbs is not my go-to rapper.
Got it. That's why it's great.
Yeah,
that's it's why like, great because it's partially offensive because Freddie Gibbs fans are like, why are you rapping on these beats?
I've never heard of Freddie Gibbs rap.
So. I've never heard of it until I think Pinata came out, and I've never heard of anything from Madlib until his solo productions as the DJ. But this one.
Yeah, this was incredible. Education was incredible. It was great.
Yo, tell me it was fucking amazing. Wasn't it? Like, I was kind of taken aback. But how amazing that was produced, honestly.
I want to add the case was great. Because Madlib did a album with Blackstar. And that's his next project that they keep teasing and hinting about, and that's why I chose Education. Mm.
Yeah, their moment is past. Blackstar needs to wrap it up.
I can't say it's past. I mean, in this day and age,
they should have done that a long time ago. Jokers were still rocking backpacks. They missed their boat. They missed their boat a long time ago. Nobody wants to see 50-year-old rappers jumping around. Nobody's gonna go out of their way to go see them. So this is like a nostalgia. This is like nostalgia to do that. It's like, oh, Blackstar. Like nobody cares. Like we're all 40 and got houses to take care of. Like we ain't thinking about buying their album. Come on, man. Kids ain't messing with them. Kids ain't messing with them. Not at all. Stop it.
They're not. But should they? I mean, is this that moment when they start catching
I mean, everybody should be open to listen to whatever they listen to.
Yeah.
I mean, if your source is the radio, you're gonna get a limited source no matter what. College radio used to be great. I'm not sure what it is now. Satellite radio is kind of there's no commercials, but they still play the same stuff. So I mean, you really just gotta like dig to find unique music if you really want to. That's just your choice.
Once a tree digger.
I'm not saying you have to do that. But, you know, I think when a kid goes to college or something, they get exposed to so much diversity. You get exposed to so much music. And that's when you really start exploring to different sounds and stuff.
Yeah. Hey. I listened to the album. Palmolive. That was my chunk. That song. Palmolive.
Palm Olive.
Killer Mike.
Oh,
which leads
yeah.
me to my next Marvel moment. I have the super team now. Super team. We need to put together Pusha T, Killer Mike, Freddie Gibbs, and Sci-Hi the Prince.
Yep. I was like, that's a... Yo, you asking for too much power there, bro. Like, I'm not sure
no,
you understand what
no,
you just said.
There it is. That's phase four.
Bro.
Okay?
That's phase six. That's six. No, I'm not saying that. That's four six. Me. That is some ungodly power.
You guys, like... This is making rappers into a 2K game. If only they could get along. If only they could pick a beat that they all like.
Right.
It's always
yes.
Like I've literally been in the car seat of like a super group of one of the producers, and he can't stand the other member. Like,
yeah.
He just can't
yeah.
stand them. Can't stand them. Like just talking, just bashing them. Just like, wow, I can't believe this dude is like, you guys are like about to drop an album.
Hey man, that's what made the Avengers great.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They made it all the way to
end. What? What album?
I said that's what made the Avengers great. They all started bashing as soon as they met.
Even
through it through at the very end.
That's a movie. That's a
time machine. Get out of here.
All right.
Well, if I revealed the album, it's kind of trash, so it didn't work out. I'm trying to think whenever has a bunch of rappers gone together besides Wu-Tang and made it work? It doesn't really
work. Are we not counting Gorillaz Rehab? Are we not counting that?
No, because that's, again, that is the rehab, and it's not like it's a crew of rappers
okay.
rolling around
yeah,
to this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Man, this is a great. Okay, so it looks like Wu-Tang seems to be the ones that seems to be able to hold it down.
Yeah,
they were the only one. Everybody bit off of them and never made it work. And then you had you know what? Red and Meth kind of.
Oh yeah, Red and Meth. Yeah, Kill Ya.
Which is part of that. Yeah, or just like Ghost and Ray, which is part of that, right?
Yeah, Ghost and Ray, but I mean just like for like people from different regions or whatever to come together or just like even just like a different cities. Like I can't think of anybody besides Wu-Tang that really made it like materialize and actually get along and like make it
yeah.
work. We always dreamed of that, like a super group of like, I don't know, like I mean back in the, I guess the 80s, late 80s would be like Rakim, KRS-One, mm-hmm. Big Daddy Kane, and Coogee Rap do an album together or something. And for the 90s, it would be like Nas, Jay-Z, Redman, you know, just so on and so forth.
Right.
But I can't think of anybody that's ever made it work
like
that.
Not with the delay of the land at the time. You know, we have all these different sounds coming from all the different coasts and shit. And then like you said, let them all be.
That's what you get in Bandana. You get Black Thought, Yasinbe, Pusha T, Killer Mike, and then you get Pac Anderson, which is new blood on the track with this guy and OG production Madlib. I mean, that's your present right there. It's you get cameos like when you're watching a Marvel movie. You're not gonna get, you know, Marvel zombies, but you get this cameo of, you know, undead Iron Man. You gotta appreciate it while it is instead of trying to ask for something bigger. If you can't appreciate what you got now, then how are you gonna appreciate the super group if it ever theoretically happens?
I don't even listen to hip hop. So.
As I said at the beginning, a hip hop retiree like me, I'm like, hey, you know what? That sounds really good. That sounds like rap. I only listen to artists. I don't listen to rap. I only listen to certain artists, man. I give it up.
There's like nothing a rapper could say right now that would impress me in any way. Because I've heard everything in every way. You could spit it. I mean, I've been to every place, dark place where everybody was bad. I've seen Eminem before he was even signed in Cyphers. I mean, I was there, like for every moment of and see this shit blow up before my eyes. Like I was paying. Like a $10 ticket, $5 ticket to see like Biggie Smalls, and now like this dude, then he goes to
Arenas,
like,
where
I don't see him at all, like unless I go to like a summer jam or something.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
But ain't that's gonna be the case with the Marvel? It's so spoiled that you enjoy the game, and then as you get older and you see it, you're like, I've already seen these major arcs, I've already read them, and this could be.
Nah, I'm just mature and I'm hip to the game. The lyrics don't mean nothing.
I relate it to like kind of like literature. It's like, you know, if you read enough literature from like, you know, like way back when, you know, when things were, you know, people want more thespians and shit and all the other things we got to now, you're gonna see a lot of the same shit. I mean, you know, you're gonna be really well versed in that kind of stuff. And the same thing with hip hop and rap, you know, it's like,
no, it's just being more rational. It's just being more sound. It's just like reading a comic book. You're just going to know more than somebody that's seen the visual. And the
exactly. It's like expanding and whatnot.
And we expand.
As always, you know, the thing that fascinates me is these stories are older than that, right?
Mm-hmm, a lot older.
Like, of course. Like a lot of stuff they plug into, you know, some of the stuff me and Jose talk to you about a lot. You know, it's just like all the stuff that it plugs in and from other pieces of media and literature and kind of like makes that commonality of the human experience where you feel like, okay, something is brought back to not only me, but my family and my village by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole journey of going through that ritual. I guess that's what those are in a way, you know? People being able to, you know, in a lot of ways, it was funny that movie, reminded me of your National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Oh yeah,
and you know, it's also, you know, when Peter goes, what comic is it? Goes on his honeymoon.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 7. Pete and they go on the honeymoon when they go to France. So you know, the movie's all over the place where, as far as allusions to, you know, older comic books, which is great. And, you know, only person that would know that is somebody, you know, that's used to comic books. No disrespect to anybody that doesn't do that. I'm not saying you have to be that to be a real fan. I mean, you're a fan. You know, there's different degrees to a fan. Like, some are just much deeper into it than others. And, you know, I'm not one person to look down at somebody if they just, all they ever saw was the movies.
No.
Especially in this day and age where everybody's looking at their phone and Instagram. So
exactly. And, you know, that was kind of a weird thing when I first started to kind of get into the, you know, the on the other side of that, you know, with the rap and whatnot, when I started to understand more about, you know, how deep things went beforehand, before I, you know, in my generation, you know, and all that, you know, the hype era and shit like that, which I thought that was really the only fucking thing that I could understand. But then I went back, like, you know, to the 90s and 80s and whatnot, even further than that. I was like, whoa, what the hell? Like, it was such a weird dichotomy.
And Spider-Man, and like I said, Spider-Man was like that. He was like that black dude, even though he wasn't that black.
That was it. Yeah,
like, he was in the city.
Was he not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I related to him, you know, and like, he wasn't the fan favorite. Like, it wasn't like this dude was like, yeah, Spider-Man. Like, in the comic book, they kind of hated this dude. They were, I mean, J. Jonah Jameson's putting your face in the front page of the story and painting you as a criminal. Like, you're a criminal. You just got this black cloud over you. You're a criminal. You're a thief. Right? Like, you just ruining his reputation. Like,
right, and then you got all these other people out here, right? You got all these other motherfuckers out here who are doing literally the same damn thing, but like, I gotta be the one that getting the clap. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on. You know, it's like, that's what made him. That's what literally made him, as you put it, like, you know, that black guy, even though he was not. Like, and now here we are.
Right, absolutely.
And here we are with, like, you know, years later, and now we got that black guy, you know, with the depiction of
this. And he was, like, the closest thing to hip-hop, too, Spider-Man, because he was in New York City. So it wasn't like, and he wasn't, you know, a lot of comic book characters, they're always, like, wealthy dudes. Like, Batman's wealthy.
Yep.
Tony Stark's is wealthy. They always come, like, they're scientists. They're, like, rich scientists.
Let's be honest. How do most people in America know about Marvel Comics? Who do they identify with? Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's he from? Queens.
It's in Queens, yeah.
How did most of America really get into listening to rap music?
Queens, come on. Queens, come on.
Let's just be real. Let's just between Run DMC.
I don't know, man.
I'm just talking marketing here.
Yeah.
Are you saying? Are you guys saying that Queens is has more spitters than like Brooklyn?
I'm just saying, in terms of like Target, Costco culture, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Oh my, yeah.
What are the entry points that America historically kind of learned about, let's say, rap? Run DMC, right?
Well, DMC. I was going to say Coming to America.
I you know for a fact I've been to that McDowell's. You know for a fact.
For real? Oh, my, stop that. Stop that there right now.
Oh, word. Nice. I've been meaning to go out there.
I have family in Elmhurst and in Grand Flushing, son. Straight up, man. I have been to McDowell's.
That's wrong. You know it.
Oh man, then the barber says Marty Sharp. I love it. That is so great. It's so great. Love that.
So, you guys gonna watch the shows?
Oh, yes. Of course.
What shows?
Oh yeah. I mean,
the shows on Disney. Disney's launching its own streaming platform, yep, and then it's gonna make like 2-hour movies as an episodic television.
Yeah,
so
about, like,
the first
six
one,
to seven episodes, like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like the first one is going to be the new Captain America, which is Bucky and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently and then, it's them fighting Hydra in America.
Yep, and then after that it's going to be like WandaVision, something like that.
All right, Wanda going to Wakanda and trying to bring back the Vision and them going back to the 50s,
mm-hmm.
which is my prediction of how they're going to start the mutants.
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to do that?
Wanda. Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And just
well, yeah, so it's just gonna be kind of them. You heard she's pretty much gonna play the hand of kind of resetting for the next phase where we're gonna start introducing the. All right,
so you guys named three characters that are getting spin-off shows that I could care less about.
and then we got Loki.
You don't mess with Falcon. You don't mess with Winter Soldier.
You don't mess with Winter Soldier.
Falcon.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
You don't mess with Falcon.
My favorite part about them is when Spider-Man tore him up in Civil War.
He's kind of not wrong, though. That was, like, the best part. Like,
cool. Fair.
Like, to me, that showed me how nice Spider-Man is. Like, he just tore them up and was, like just clowning them until Falcon did that little thing.
Yep.
In his thing.
Yeah.
It was great. It was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Favorite part of that movie. He stole the whole movie.
I'm you know what? A lot of people kind of sleep on Loki, but I'm actually a little excited to see the show and whatnot.
He gets a show. By the way, Loki gets a show.
Loki's going
through time messing with stuff.
Yeah, he's just going to be on the side stuff.
Oh, because he stole
that Tesseract? Yeah, he's just going to be doing a bunch of side shit and stuff. And that's going to be hilarious. Tell me that's not going to be cutting you up. It's going to be funny as hell.
That would be good. That would be good. If he's doing it,
Tom Hiddleston is going to be playing Loki. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Then you get some replacement.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm really excited because, I mean, as much as I loved the Netflix Marvel Universe, you know, Kevin Feige has gone on a record a million times saying, like, oh, no, I hate the fact that, you know, it's all dark, gritty, and they curse all up and down the damn thing. And, yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah, he's definitely going to record it. And that's
like
the unfortunate thing because that was kind of a lot of people's hope that as we move forward into the next phases, that we would use those characters to kind of guide in the darkness that we kind of needed.
Dude, I want to X-Force.
Let's talk about this for a minute. You're talking about dark. Okay. Let's talk about those shows. This is what's happening.
No.
These people are just talking with wet mouths in dark rooms over drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 50 people die in a building.
Maybe
100 people die in a building.
Mm-hmm.
The Avengers is talking about like half of the universe died.
Yeah.
On TV. And then when we brought them back, we let the kids use Comic Sans font. At the presentation those kids did, I was like, why didn't nobody coach them?
I mean,
that's all your fault. That cost was all your idea. You taught him to wear those jeans. So, like,
no.
I look, that beginning part of that fucking film was. I honestly. Okay, look, I felt the same way. But tell me the entire time you were like, that's wrong. You didn't have a smile on your face. Because I was like, this is so wrong. But if I'm not enjoying every second of this incredibly ridiculous Comic Sans.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it for me. the main thing I took away from it being a non-Spider-Man fan, and Tom, I will say, Tom Holland's Spider-Man brought me into trying to appreciate him more. Even though I've seen him in comics, it's like I kind of unsaw him. I'd read him in comics, I'm like, eh, Spider-Man. Yeah, I know in the comics he's more powerful and he's the one with the gauntlet and saves everything, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always skipped over him, but I will say that ever since Civil War, and I think in part of it, honestly, because he was on the screen in the same team as the Black Panther, I was like, yo, I'm really messing with this kid.
But, before they ruined Deadpool with these movies, that especially that last movie they made of him, to me, Deadpool was just a dark Spider-Man. And I love Deadpool. I read a ton of Deadpool comics.
Dark
Spider-Man. To me, he was always like just a really dark Spider-Man. He was just real slick with it, popping mad trash. Like, he was just dope to me. Because Spider-Man talks a lot of trash. Talks mad trash. He backs it up. One of my favorite words. He's like, hey, buddy, you lost this. And he just throws it back at Metal Arms, whatever his name is. Lucky. I want that Spider-Man. They better bring that Spider-Man for the next movie, because Far From Home, he was too
timid. He was very arrogant. Like brought back.
And
part of his
growth. I know, but I'm just like, son, you fought Thanos. You fought. You were in the Civil War. Okay, so you were in this big apocalypse.
But you look at it that way. But let's be honest. It's like, as a kid, is that how they see it? He was like, look, okay. His whole thing was, I don't want to talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
He was being a true teenage boy. He's like, I don't really want to talk about it. No. Like, I don't really want to talk about.
It was traumatizing.
Yeah, he's still in it.
First, like, let's add it all up. Like, I don't want to talk about my aunt's boyfriend. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No,
I don't. Right. I don't want to talk about this snap thing.
The blip. What is it?
I don't want to talk about losing my stepdad.
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I certainly don't want to talk about being Spider-Man. I really just want to sit by that girl on the plane.
Right. That's all I want to do. I just want to be a teacher for a couple seconds.
Don't forget, he was the one that kept calling him up saying, I want to be an Avenger.
I mean, who's supposed to know any better? Yes. I mean, it's a bunch of superhero stuff. He's like, yeah, this is awesome.
Look, he's an indecisive kid. That's what he's supposed to be, right? I get that. But, you know, I love when he puts the mask on and he becomes this real, you know, confident and arrogant, and he's slick with it, you know? Like, you could be timid with it off, but... It's like you still have these great powers. Like you still. I get that he's young and everything, but he's still got to feel good about himself in some way. Like, I mean, something. I mean, why is he
heavy?
You know, but this is part of Spider-Man, right? He always has this hang-up because he always has this regret because he didn't save Uncle Ben. And hopefully they won't go the same route with MJ dying, but they probably will.
I'm not sure they're gonna be killing off one of the main cast, really. What's that?
Ask a disrespectful question for people who've really messed with these comics.
All right.
If Miles Morales is Instant Rice, what brand does he use?
I need you to reevaluate your life, bro.
First of all, real quick. First of all, I'm gonna shut this down immediately. Right now, all right? His mom's is Puerto Rican. We don't use Instant Rice.
What about when he goes away to college?
Stop. He's going ramen noodles.
Just stop with this. Oh my
God. Take two steps back. Like that.
He's going chicken ramen noodles, son, all day. Beef too.
Thank you guys for coming.
Happy to be here.
I want to thank you, my sponsors. This is the Children of the Fall. This is an experiment. I'm going to sew this shit together. And we'll see you guys next movie. This was supposed to be random.
What's that? Like a
Netflix? Yeah, probably. Yeah, with Black Widow. Eternals having a drop.
Black Widow. I'm not going to go see that. I'm not going to partake in that next show. I'll catch you the next.
Watch you sleep on that shit.
I'll catch you the next.
The next ride.
I just don't know what they're going to do for a prequel that's going to, like, be meaningful for the future.
You're gonna see some Loki if it's going back in the past.
Oh yeah, no, don't you worry. They're gonna pull some crazy shit with Black Widow. I'm telling you, like, don't sleep on that shit. Don't sleep.
I mean, I'll wait a month. It'll be on the internet. It'll be all right.
All right, take it easy, y'all.